'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man. How you doing?
Come on,
you good?
Come on.
I know you like that.
Yeah,
I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild.
Hey, and welcome back, folks. In the first part of the show, you got a chance to hear us talk about the LA Lakers. And Gavin and I, of course, went on way past the showtime. So, without further ado, we're going to dive into part two of the NBA Finals, LA Lakers, Boston Celtics, and a few other teams of the NBA. But most importantly, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Who is the GOAT? Without further ado, here's part two. Check it out.
I hear exactly what you're saying, right? I'm conflicted when it comes to this because do I believe that Anthony Davis should be suspended from that action? Like, part of me says no, because, again, that will be decisively changing the outcome of ultimately who becomes a champion, right? You want all the guys to play, and you don't want to, like, just – toss one guy just because of a little situation. But if we're going to be in accordance to the rules, the rules of the league that we've seen enforced in these very same situations,
that's right,
time and time again, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a regular season, a first round playoff game, or an NBA finals. It shouldn't matter, right? And we've seen guys get suspended like Draymond before.
That's right.
But again, part of me, I think they made the right call, not making the call and suspending him. But if we're supposed to be consistent with the rules, then the rule says that he should have been suspended.
And that's
real
the
quick,
key
real
word,
quick,
though.
Let me,
it's consistency.
Let me just make a point. Let me just make a point about that Draymond suspension.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
I don't want to hear any excuses from any Golden State Warrior apologist. Okay, Draymond was suspended, right?
Okay,
all right. He was back for game seven, right?
Yeah.
Game seven was in Golden State, right?
Yep.
So if you guys are really that team, then you guys should win a game seven at home,
fair,
right? So
fair.
I don't want to hear that whole narrative
series.
That, oh, the only reason that Cleveland won is because Draymond gets suspended. That would be different if he's suspended for game seven and you don't have your guy. You guys had your full roster for game seven at home and you guys lost.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't want to hear that.
I'm not going to argue that. Yeah. The Warriors were up 3-1 and, you know, with the Splash Brothers and everybody playing. So they should have won that series. But that's what makes this so different. I think if AD gets suspended for game six, because the Heat were winning game five.
Yeah.
Without
a doubt, Miami's winning that game.
The Heat go to game seven and possibly win the whole series. Done. Like, that's what I say.
No question.
So, again, it just seems kind of like a coincidence that the two times when a suspension, like, when a suspension happens or doesn't happen, it's when fucking James is in the finals. The suspension happened with Draymond in his favor, and the suspension didn't happen with AD in his favor. It just seems ironic to me that just keeps happening. So who knows? But as I told my wife, I said, look, let's be realistic. I already knew the Lakers were going to win. I had hopes that somebody else would win, and it had less to do with LeBron on this end, just because Rajon Rondo is one of my favorite Celtic players. I was really happy for him to get another ring. I thought Dwight Howard finally deserved to silence those ghosts.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And get a ring.
Rajon Rondo is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
With the second ring,
he's
a Hall of Famer. I don't know about being a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he – it's solidified.
Yeah,
he's in the Hall of Fame after this.
I mean, he was so important.
He's the only player. Check this out. Check out this great statistic, right, that he will have for the rest of his life.
That's right.
He's the only player to win a championship with the Celtics
and
a championship with the Lakers.
Two
greatest NBA
franchises ever. How crazy is that? No one's going to beat that. No one's going to beat that. No one. So that's incredible.
And he's responsible. And this championship is responsible. He's a part of being responsible for now being tied with the Celtics. They both now have 17 NBA championships.
How crazy is that?
That's That's historic, so he has a lot. Yeah,
I mean, I, you know, I love Rajon, and I'm glad for Dwight. I'm glad for DeMarcus Cousins. For
those who
don't know, DeMarcus Cousins was cut from the team to make room for another player, which I think happened to either be Rajon or Dwight. Injured during a practice. Another major injury that took him out for the season. It was his first time, like this is for this year, folks, when he signed with the Lakers, and everybody was excited. I was even kind of excited for him because I love DeMarcus Cousins. Check this out, though. Because he was with the team long enough, because he would still fly with them and go to practices, he can actually get an honorary ring, which I don't see them not doing that. Because he was there because of LeBron, which means LeBron's going to look out for him. I don't like LeBron. Like, I'm not a big fan of his as a player. But the man is a decent guy. But he's a good guy. So if something tells me he's going to make sure that DeMarcus Cousins gets a ring.
And oh, well, it's no thing for the Laker organization to have give another him, ring
made. I know. It cost them nothing.
Right. Like, and besides, the Lakers are more concerned. They'll give DeMarcus Cousins a ring.
Yeah.
The Lakers are more concerned about how the hell they're going to get out of Luol Deng's contract.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Luol Deng is still getting paid.
Paying him? Dude, that's insane. He's still
Luol Deng was on the Lakers, 3 years ago? Maybe even longer than
Dude,
that.
Dude, how is he still getting paid?
That's, man, you know, so, yo, so agent, they're more worried about that. Whoever doesn't have
an agent, find the Luol Deng agent. Yeah, yeah. So you agent. Get paid, yo.
He'll get you paid,
what,
yeah.
You want to trade me? Great. You're still paying
And
me.
That's a great comparison because now Boogie was with the team. He may not have been with them during the bubble through the, you know, a good portion of the season, but he was with the team this year. So, yeah, he deserves a ring or whatever. Yeah. You can even look at what about this? What about Dion Waiters? This guy was getting a ring regardless because he was with the Miami Heat.
He was like hated.
So he is winning.
He sat down.
He was going to win a ring anyway.
Yeah.
Look, if the Heat would have won, he would have got a ring. The Lakers won, he still gets a ring. He was going to get a ring regardless.
That's crazy. So like,
so I don't have any problem with, you know, with Waiters getting a ring or Booker getting a ring. But I do have a problem with, you know, the Luol Deng situation and them having to pay him because he hasn't been with Laker Nation for over 3 years, so like I'm not gonna.
And his contract is still hitting their books. So I mean, so that was my thing with the championship. I also just didn't want the Lakers to tie with the Celtics. I mean, this, you know, Boston has held on to
you have rooting interest
title for a while to being having the most championships. And granted, it took Boston, I think it took the Lakers 34 years to get their 17. It took Boston 20. So
yeah, Boston had a period of time where they were just like championship. So
realistically, Boston is still to me greater because it took us less time to get the same amount of rings. But now I think the question is, how long does this window stay open? And our time is getting short, folks.
For the Lakers?
So we're not going to even touch on this right now because we're hitting the hour mark. I knew this was going to happen because you can't not talk about LeBron and the Lakers and without going on.
You
want
to keep going? I'll leave it up to you. You want to keep going?
But quick 5 minutes. Is this window open still? And if it is, how long is it going to stay open? And what do you need to do if you're the Lakers to get title number 18 and possible number 19? To maximize this opportunity?
Well, I think it's pretty clear at this point that the best duo in the NBA is LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Yes. I think it's pretty clear at this point. If you look across the board,
because Kyrie, as of now.
Let me just talk about the Lakers. I'll make a quick point about the Nets.
Okay.
So so you agree with me that in terms of the best duo in NBA, it's LeBron and AD, at least for now, right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, right, I think the whole sort of atmosphere of the NBA super team has now reverted back to the duos instead of the trios. I think the trio era is sort of like dismissed for now. Mm. I think the NBA is back to that the two best. Yeah. So, okay, let's look across the board. All right, sticking with the Lakers, because, again, we can get sidetracked talking about all of this stuff. So the Lakers, as currently constructed, do they stand a chance to repeat? Yes and no. I would lean more to the no, just because anytime a team wins a championship, it doesn't mean that, okay, yeah, you won the championship for that year. Mm-hmm. You were the best team that year. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that there's things that you need to improve or to get better on if you're going to win another championship. Mm-hmm. Because obviously all the other teams are going to get better. Everyone is looking at you now. So the pressure is going to become a lot worse. Mm-hmm. The intensity is going to become more a lot more. And, you know, we can't, you know, dismiss the fact that we're going to have KD and Kyrie back on the Brooklyn Nets.
That's right.
You know, so that's a team to look out for coming out of West. But, and you know, just from what I've seen.
The Golden State Warriors, folks.
You're going to have them back as well. Don't sleep on them either. Yeah.
The Splash Brothers are back. And but
in terms of the Lakers roster.
And the Clippers are not a sleeper either. So
Right. But in terms of the Lakers roster, I think they need to I mean, it depends, because they have an unorthodox lineup, especially when you have LeBron as sort of the
point forward,
point guard of the team. So how are you going to match up against that? If you got LeBron, who's playing the point, and you can make the argument that at that position, he's the best point guard in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
you can make that argument. Yeah. I mean,
if he's actually it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he's got
LeBron at the point,
You get somebody with some handles.
Oh no, but he doesn't need handles like that.
But yeah, but he's a big guy.
Oh sure. But here's the thing: when in terms of the opposing player, like LeBron wouldn't be guarding Kyrie. No. That would be a different player. So LeBron is the point guard on offense, but LeBron is not going to be guarding Kyrie. Yeah. So again, with the Lakers, I think they need to make some sort of minor tweaks. I think they benefited, I think, from their size. I mean,
of course,
I did not know that their size would be such a dominating factor. I mean, teams, I think ultimately that's why the Miami Heat couldn't overcome them, because it was just such a size difference.
That's right.
You know, what are you going to do with LeBron, AD, and Dwight Howard in the lineup?
Yeah,
They're too big.
Was just too big. But Jimmy Butler was able to do what he does because they're too big.
Oh, of course. Because Jimmy got heart. Not everyone got heart.
Because they're too big. He's too fast. He's too vicious. He's too intense. He has LeBron's intensity when he's playing with his head down, but with a greater speed. So he's scary. So I think looking at, you know, Lakers and how they're structured, you're totally right. Their size overwhelmed people coming into the playoffs. I think had they faced the Denver Nuggets in the finals, there would have been a more of a push. I think if they placed in the Western Conference Finals, if they played the Celtics in the NBA Finals, there would have been a harder team for them because they have size. They don't have a 7-footer, but neither did they. Like, they didn't use one, at least. They stuck with the 6'10 Dwight. They stuck with the 6'10.
I think
the Celtics just have a better shooting team, a better athletic team.
Yeah, but
Jason Tatum is
a
beast. I mean, Kemba Walker is no Gorgon. So, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Marcus Smart can defend three positions. So I just think it would have been a better matchup. But
sure, but again, that's what we expected to happen when they faced Miami.
I know.
No one thought that
Miami.
I picked Boston to beat Miami because of their talent and you know,
but
size.
They blamed it on Brad Stevens, though, because the argument was that Brad Stevens just didn't know how to draw up plays to get out of this box and one run that Eric Spoelstra kept throwing at him. But
that zone, man, that zone was
it had them
tearing
choking.
Them up.
He didn't know what to do. But now take that apart. Back to the Lakers, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think they have a window to win another one, but it's only if they make some serious changes. They cannot
run
back.
So who should they bring in? Let's forget about the, you know, how the contracts, how the money adds up. Just address, who do you think, if we're going into next season, who do you think they should get rid of, and who do you think they should be trying to bring on?
Well, they don't really have money like that. Let's be realistic, right? Because they put, you know, a lot of that into some of these other players. So there's going to be contracts that they need to dump. If they can find a way to I mean, they need another center. I like Dwight, but I don't see Dwight playing all 82 games and then coming in to be your guy.
I think Dwight is going to want more money. I think Dwight is going to leave to another team.
He's definitely
going to
want more money, and they're not going to give it to him. And I don't blame them because he played really well on an already good team that gave him those options. I think they keep Rajon Rondo because he's important. He's a general. As they always say, he's an extension of the coach on the floor, and most importantly, LeBron listens to him.
Yes, that is key. He's not gonna respect him. LeBron doesn't.
If Rondo says, "Yo, we're not doing that. This is what I think needs to happen," he respects his mind.
Real quick.
So much, he's gonna listen to him.
Real quick. I don't know if you heard about this, but it recently came out that I don't know at what point during the season that this transpired, but apparently it was reported that Rondo had a conversation with LeBron. Rondo went up to LeBron and told him, like, "Hey, you got to change the way you react to players. Like, when players miss shots, you can't, you know, your face, you know, shows disapproval, and that crushes the young players.
Yeah.
So you got to be more responsible on how your mannerisms
are. Right.
You're right. No one can tell that to LeBron. LeBron's like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. Like, but Rondo, listen to Rondo. Exactly.
So that's big.
So you're absolutely right with that. Yeah.
Just to make it short, I get rid of Kyle Kuzma.
He's gone. Get rid of that guy.
I get rid of KCP because he wasn't really a factor. I'd look at getting somebody that...
I disagree. I don't know. I think KCP put up some good games in the finals, man. I think
8 points or no points one game? No, crazy, but
here's the thing.
Come on.
But here's the thing. Who was supposed to perform more, Kyle Kuzma or KCP?
Kuzma.
Who was supposed to...
Kuzma.
Exactly. That's
Kuzma's
my point.
Supposed to be number
so
three.
KCP...
Kuzma's supposed to be
exactly.
the third guy on the team.
That's my point. That's my point. Okay, forget about LeBron and AD. Who were the unsung heroes of the Lakers championships this year? Rajon Rondo, KCP, and freaking Elmer Fudd. Freaking Caruso. Freaking Elmer Fudd, yo, I swear. Every time I look at him, every time I look at Caruso, I think of Elmer Fudd in Space Jam. With the when he had the headband on, I can't get it out of my head, man.
You got to keep Caruso. That's like a must. It would be stupid to let him go. So, I mean,
okay.
But all right. So let's say for me, I'd keep Rondo, you keep Caruso. If you can keep DeMarcus, I give him another opportunity because I feel like Cousins, when he's healthy and you give him minimal minutes, he's incredible because he gets
injured. And you may be able to get him low. You may be able to get him low. And you're saying that, okay, let Dwight walk. Mm-hmm. And your other big would be DeMarcus Cousins. What about JaVale?
I keep JaVale to spell DeMarcus and maybe pick up a third center that is more reliable and kind of fills the holes. Because at this point, you got Anthony Davis. What you really need is a power forward that can back up Anthony when he sits. Someone that lets Anthony sit for a period of time. That you know that he feels comfortable. Now apparently they were playing Dwight at the four at some periods, which is, you know, if you can find somebody with Dwight's size, his muscle, who rebounds well and maybe even pops the threes every so often, then you pick him up, right? I can't name who because I don't know who's going to be available coming into the season, but Kyle Kuzma has got to go. You have got to clear space for someone else that's more effective, who can really give LeBron and AD a break. Because Kyle Kuzma is a tweener. He's a forward, power forward. So he should be able, and he has big body.
He doesn't utilize anything well.
Mm-hmm. He just doesn't seem to be scary in any way where like you're like, oh man, he's at the three. Oh man, he's a threat.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's in the post. Oh man, he's a threat. You don't do that. If you're defending him, you're like, maybe he'll make it, but it's not likely. You do a little bit of gesture. He's going to shake. He gets cold and he stays cold for periods of time. And his defense is not great. He's had some great moments on defense, but that does not equal greatness on defense. And that's what bothered me. So I say if you're the Lakers and you have LeBron, I never agree with this because I always say you don't sell the farm just to get the cow. But If you're the Lakers, your window is about maybe 2 years deep. Maybe
yeah, because
three,
obviously LeBron is not getting any younger. However, you know, looking at the way LeBron is currently playing, I mean, can you honestly say that? It's
right
hard
help,
not to believe that
he can
with the right help, go. Of course. But can you say that you can't expect him to play at this level for another 5 years? I mean, look at him. LeBron is
right
a freak
help
of nature.
With the right help.
Yeah.
If he was still in Cleveland, the answer would be hell no. He can't maintain
that.
But because he got someone
you know
like
the problem,
Anthony Davis, as long as you have Anthony Davis, teams are going to respect him. It's Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. So what, he had an off series. It's Anthony freaking Davis. You don't let him shine, right? So as long as LeBron has that player, which he's never had that kind of partner before, who's bigger than most defenders, who's quicker than most defenders, who's a monster on defense, who can hit the three, play the ball. Like, he does so much. Yeah. It's a problem. So yeah, as long as they have Anthony Davis, who isn't going nowhere, we all know that because he fought to get there.
He's going to sign the extension.
Then all you need is one other player, so that it'll spell LeBron, it'll give his longevity on the court if he can kind of slide down from the one spot on the team to the two spot, right? Let AD have the one spot. James becomes your number two guy, and then you got a nasty number three. But as long as he's number one and it's just him and AD, it's going to start to wear on him because teams already know how to bother them. They already know.
At this point in time, I think LeBron playing at this level, I think he has another two years, maybe three at playing at this level.
Yeah.
And eventually, like you said, the transition is going to happen where AD becomes
number
and
one.
And a lot of people was even saying that this year that, you know, AD was the best player. He emerges as the best player, but that needs to happen going forward to spell LeBron.
Yeah.
But in terms of adding additional players, I agree with you that in terms of, you know, get rid of Kuzma, you can let Dwight walk. But if you can get Dwight back for cheap, I think you probably should bring back Dwight.
Obviously.
But if not, I agree with you that try to lock up Rondo, but I think Rondo is going to want more money as well. So what does that mean? That means that you're going to have to consider getting
out
another point guard.
He opted out already, so he wants money.
And
but
as you
know
said,
what?
They don't have money.
If you got it, give it to him. Because realistically, when it comes down the line, because you're talking about championships if you're the
Lakers,
you're not thinking about regular season. You know, you're thinking about
Playoff Rondo is real.
If I got to pick between Caruso and Rondo, I'm picking Rondo. If it comes down to be like, we got enough money for one of y'all to stay, and then we got to sign another point for cheaper.
And like you said, Caruso, it's all about championships. Rondo. It's all about championships. I could care less about what kind of production I'm getting from Rondo regular season when I know that come playoffs, even if Rondo is giving you like 15 or 20 minutes a game, you know that those 15 or 20 minutes a game is going to be pivotal you winning that game. And the thing about a player like Rondo, a good game for Rondo doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of guys in the league that the only good games they have is numbers.
Yeah.
You know, but Rondo's intangibles, you know, he's I'll say Rondo is probably, I mean, I think LeBron probably has the highest IQ, which makes him part of his greatness. But I think if you take away LeBron, I think the
Rondo's
smartest player in the NBA is number two.
Rondo's number two. There's no argument. Rondo's
Chris Paul
is in that top three. If you think of IQ.
Now, that's what – okay. So,
you know.
So, there's been rumblings about
getting Paul,
a potential Chris Paul deal. How do you make that happen? I don't know. But I think – well, let me ask you this.
I'll tell you right now, here's how you make it happen. If you're the Thunder, knew that what they did this year was a fluke, right? They knew that as they play, and that hasn't been forgotten, right? They look incredible, the Thunder, right? But it's a fluke. They're not going to do that again next year. They're not going to be that frightening of a team.
Well, they're losing all their players. I wouldn't say it was a fluke. I would say it was a flash in the pan.
Okay, a flash in the pan. So what I anticipate them doing is like, look, if you're the Lakers, the Lakers are they going to try to do a sign and trade, which probably benefits them, right? Because then they can dump off a few contracts to get their guy. And this year's draft looks good, but the draft in 2022 and 2023. is scary, right?
Yeah, this year, I mean, it's not going to be
coming out.
You got guys like for this year, I mean, you're going to have guys like Victor Oladipo, not really top tier guys, but like you said, the following year, that's when you're going to have Giannis available. Bradley Beal is going to be available.
If you're the Thunder, you're not in the win now, right? You can wait another 2-3 years, right?
Hell, you're gonna wait longer than
that. And draft well too, and pick some great players coming out the draft. Like I said, like Imani Bates, who's rumored to be the next Kevin Durant. Same height, same skill set, but even better than KD was at this stage. It's crazy. You got some amazing players coming out, some great rookies. So what I would anticipate them doing is
and they got a lot of draft capital. They got a lot of draft capital.
So if you're the Thunder, it's a clearance. I'm giving away Steven Adams. I'm giving away Chris Paul for a price. Sign and trade with the Lakers. The Lakers are with it. Cool. Here's Chris Paul.
And here's the thing, real quick. The Thunder can't trade Chris Paul to a team that he doesn't want to
play for.
Play for, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then he's good. Because he wants to play for the Lakers.
Yeah, I think.
He'd been wanting to go there since 7 years ago, 8 years ago,
yeah.
Some crazy amount of time.
So, right. Do you remember, in fact, he was supposed to go there, and then David Stern, who was the NBA commissioner at the time, killed the deal. That's never happened before.
He X'd that out. Because David commissioner saw what was about to happen. He was like, nah. Y'all ain't doing that.
He was about to have Chris Paul with Kobe and Gasol,
you know,
man.
How scary that team would have been? Fucking frightening.
Oh, my God.
That team would have won several more rings, like easily. But like I said, so I think they do a deal with Oklahoma City. That's a sign and trade. They give up the Luol Deng contract, which is basically a milestone right now, right? So that frees up money. You give them Kyle Kuzma, who's still young enough to be a possible promising, right? Maybe he's
just
needs
a more prominent role.
Late, right?
He needs a more prominent role,
and that happens. It's fine. Like look at Giannis. Giannis took a while to become this fucking monster of a unicorn that he is, right? It took some time. It didn't happen in 3 years. It took a few. Mm-hmm. That's okay. So if you're the Thunder, give me Kyle because we can work you know, with that. Give me that Luol Deng contract, but and some other pieces that you want to dump money on. But you got to give me your next three picks, first rounders. I don't want them second round shits. I want first rounders. That's what I want. First rounders. I need, and not for this year, because I ain't stupid. I want the one for 2022, 2023, and 2024. You give me those, and he's yours.
Because you know, because at that point, who knows if LeBron is going to re-sign for another couple of years or even go to a different team.
Exactly.
And who knows if AD, now that AD has a championship,
if he stays.
I think AD at some point, but here's the thing, AD has a championship now. So he is more liable. It would be different if Lakers didn't win and he would feel the pressure to win in LA, but he already now has the championship in LA. Yeah. So don't be shocked if at some point AD will sign an extension now for a couple of years, but don't be surprised when that 2 years is up and LeBron is maybe on the outs, that AD is like, okay, now is my chance to go back to Chicago, to my home,
right. And play for my team. I'm telling you.
And then the Lakers at that point is just going to drop.
They're
going to
drop tremendously.
In
the West, they're going to be garbage. They'll be fucking terrible. So I'm telling you, I think that's what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. All right. So, wow. Folks, I know y'all are listening. We're way over the cap. I hope that you enjoyed it. This is the last point because we don't want to come back and revisit the Lakers win again. We want us to have a whole new topic come next show. So, quickly.
Absolutely.
The GOAT, the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time, Michael.
Oh, the question.
Michael Jordan versus LeBron. This doesn't have to be long. This can be quickly, just a couple of minutes. Gavin, who do you pick?
It's a lot
Give
of controversy.
A quick wise. Boom.
The greatest of all time. I have to
Or let's
still...
just say the great between those two. The greatest of all time between LeBron and Mike. Go.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what, you know, because either up to either or.
All right.
It's still MJ, man. I mean, LeBron, I'll say this. LeBron is the quintessential second greatest player of all time.
Okay.
No question.
Okay.
And whoever is after it, I believe that the sort of
the
gap between the gap between MJ and LeBron, LeBron has the potential to keep making that gap smaller.
Okay.
So as it currently right now, LeBron has the potential to be in that conversation, but I don't think he is a legitimate GOAT candidate unless he wins more championships. Now, he has something that MJ doesn't have now. LeBron is the only player in NBA history to win three finals MVPs with three different teams.
You know, that says a lot about him than about the championship. Well, like, I don't see why that's important.
But that's my point, though, because with that being said, that goes to his greatness. That's something that no one has ever done, and maybe no one will ever do.
I don't know.
I believe that MJ is still the greatest, right?
Okay.
But I think LeBron, with this year and potentially more championships in his future, I think the gap is closing. Now, we can get into all of this all day, all night about, you know, dissecting the minute details, right? Now, if you're talking about who is the better specimen, I think that LeBron James is the better specimen. I mean, this guy's a freak of nature, man. I mean, if you just look at him, his presence, you know, if I had to say who it, and this doesn't really mean anything, it's irrelevant, but who would win in a one-on-one?
All right, so I agree with you.
Lost my word. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you. Michael Jordan to me is the greatest, right?
Yes.
But here's my reasons why. Now, I'm looking at what you said about LeBron. LeBron has been very fortunate that all three teams that he's gone to, they built a team around him, or there was already an agreement for other superstars to go there. So that's why that argument I can't fully vouch for, because I just see it being tainted with that fact. That aside,
You still got to win it, though.
True. But I mean, he had amazing help, right? All the time.
Yeah.
So just putting that out there. So with that said, LeBron is 4-6, right? Or 4-10, if you want to look at it, on his finals accomplishments, right? He gets to the finals, but he doesn't always achieve the goal. Mike Jordan, as we all know, is 6-6. The man has never lost. He's only been to the finals 6 times, if you look at his record. Only six times.
I got a counter for
he's,
you
he's
there.
Only, he's only, now, he's only now, been six now. Times and won six. Then, also the okay. man leaves the league for, what, a year and a half? Right? In that year and a half, funny enough, every year, so 1 year, second year, and third year, he wins a championship with the Bulls. The year that he leaves, the Houston Rockets win, right? Because he leaves to go play a whole nother sport, which is a whole nother regiment, a whole nother training, a whole nother diet, a whole nother mentality. Sucks at baseball to the point where he's like, you know what, I need to go back and, you know, do my thing in the NBA.
He comes back
to the NBA and nobody wins again for another 3 years like, because of him. And now take that aside, look at his accolades, right? Jordan, when it comes to Michael Jordan, 6 NBA Finals Most Valuable Players, which means every time he played in the finals, he won the MVP. 10 scoring titles, 5 MVP awards, right? Regular MVP, 5 of those. 10 All-NBA first team designations. He's only played for 15 years. Out of those 15 years, he's won that 10 times. 9 All-Defensive first team honors. He's won that 9 times out of the 15 years. 14 NBA All-Star game selections. 3 All-Star Game MVPs. Oh, and we can just keep going. And we can keep going. I mean, the accolades just grow.
But the points that you're making are all correct. But it's almost as if you're making it as if I said that LeBron was the...
I know. I'm not making it towards you. I guess I'm making it out there to the people who are shaking their heads like, no, how can you say that about LeBron?
But you know how they say the devil's in the details, right? You got to look at the details. Now, all of those accolades LeBron doesn't have. But here's the thing.
Most important, though, Gavin, is the all defensive. I'm a big believer, and many NBA purists or not, you can't really knock the fact that defense wins games. You got to stop the ball, period. In any sport, you got to be able to stop the ball. It's not about outscoring. Look at the Warriors have proven that. And they were outscoring teams left and right. But they lost that series because they didn't play good enough D. They couldn't stop the ball. Who has the most all defense? You got to give it up to someone who isn't just outscoring teams, but he's also stopping them against the best
players. That's one thing about MJ that people either fail to realize or fail to remember, that he was also a great defensive player. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the thing. This, and I think ultimately, you know, you could talk about the championships. You can talk about the individual accolades. But when it comes down to it, I think MJ always supersedes LeBron because of his killer instinct. MJ, man, do you remember when this guy was playing, man? I mean, whenever it was... every time he would shoot the ball, you thought it was going in. You can say, looking at LeBron, like, wow, you never seen a guy like that before either. Yes, but I just remember MJ, man, like, it was just damn near perfection. You can, you know, people could say like, oh yeah, but he took like 40 shots a game. Of course he's going to score that much,
percentage was so high. We can look at his percentages. He was way more efficient than LeBron, particularly in the finals.
In the playoffs. I don't know about efficient. How? Scoring. Efficient how?
He was a more efficient scorer than LeBron.
I don't know about that. We're gonna have to check the record. You can even check the record yourself. Here's a little homework assignment for you guys. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm of the belief that LeBron James is a more efficient scorer. If you're looking at field goal percentage, okay, you want to look at career percentages, you want to look at playoff percentages, you want to look at finals percentages. That is your homework assignment from me, audience.
All right.
Who has the better field goal percentage? I believe that it's LeBron, but I don't have the numbers in front of me. You're saying that it's MJ.
Yeah, hands down. I mean,
okay.
All right. So there you have it. But with that argument.
But before we go, let me just bring this out because you made the point that and I know we're over time and everything, but it's just hard to end this call without, you know, getting a few points in. But okay, so you mentioned the fact that LeBron James had overwhelmingly
Amazing players on his team.
Amazing players on his team.
And I mean, fair enough.
Players
that stood on their own carrying teams initially.
Yeah.
So these weren't players that got drafted.
I agree with you. Even though I'm of the mind that you still got to win it, because we've seen teams, these paper teams before, that are just assembled with all of these superstar talents, but they don't win. You look at them on paper, but what is the result? And so, yes, you got to win. But on the same note, that I agree with you that LeBron James has had Hall of Fame help throughout his career to win these championships, and he probably should have won a lot more than he has. I mean, you can even make the argument that if it wasn't for Ray Allen making that shot,
he would have lost that.
He would have lost that.
Ray Allen was the reason why they won.
I remember me and Sherrod, who's my older brother, folks, some of you guys may know. We're on the phone with each other, right? We're on the phone. There's 1 minute left in the game. We're celebrating like, oh, yeah. The Heat are going to lose. And then Ray Allen makes that shot. And we don't talk to each other for the rest of the night, man. What the hell happened?
That series was done.
It was over.
And then when they won, I was like, what the?
Spurs should have been back-to-back championships because obviously they go on the next year to win. And that was the emergence of Kawhi. But anyway, going back to the point I was making, we agree. I know. We agree that LeBron James has had amazing help.
Yes.
But MJ didn't necessarily have all that help. The only other great player that he had was Scottie Pippen.
Right? And don't get me wrong, Scottie's amazing. But remember that Scottie was drafted to that team. He came in as a rookie, so he would never had a chance to carry
a
team.
He was a homegrown superstar talent that emerged into a talent.
I feel like this. Pippen could have been Pippen is not a superstar, right? Because that's him and Mike being on the same level, and they're not. Whatever that level is between superstar and all-star, that's Pippen. Because he's not just an all-star.
He's not a superstar overall player, but he's a superstar defensive player.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that You take Jordan off of that team, the Bulls are not as dynamic and not as threatening, right? That's why with LeBron, you take LeBron off of that team, the Heat are still dangerous as shit. Wade and Bosh.
Of course. No one is arguing that.
The team is still dangerous. You got Bosh. So
that's, absolutely.
And that's the same thing with Kevin Love. Kevin Love carried Minnesota. Minnesota just wasn't very good because they were in the West. And that's a hard conference to play in as a power
forward. But the same notion. Has MJ ever won a title without Scotty? No.
That's a fair point. But neither has Scotty. Scotty's never won a title without MJ.
Yeah, but you just said Scotty is not a superstar. The expectation, no one, when MJ was not with the team, was anyone expecting the Bulls to win a championship? No.
I think the fifth championship, Scotty was dealing with a migraine. Didn't really even play in that game. He had to leave. You remember, we all saw The Last Dance. The man was just a shell on the court. Michael was just like, just come out to be a body. Because I just need somebody else for them to think is going to be threatening. But he did nothing. Mike, he had like 5 points. Mike did everything in that game.
No, I mean, so it was towards the end of their dynasty. But hold up.
And at a position where Mike is smaller, not at all the same size or build as a LeBron, in an era, and people are like, well, don't call that era soft. Kendrick Perkins, shut up. You're 6'10". I would never tell you shut up to your face, or maybe I would because I can see you, but you're a huge man. I would never say that to you. But that aside,
that's true.
Are you talking about? The eras were completely different. The eras were already changing, which is why Kobe was able to be as effective as he was. Let me take – people don't hang me. Kobe is arguably one of the greatest scorers I've seen, second to Jordan, come into the game. He was impossible to stop, period. But a lot of the game had already changed as far as how defense was played, how much contact was allowed.
One of the significant rule changes was the hand check. You know, guys in the MJ era, you was able to get up on guys and be more specific, more physical. Now any little you touch somebody, it's a foul. But let's not deviate from the point that I was making. So yes, we agree that LeBron has superstar help, right? Yes, and MJ didn't really have the help that LeBron has. Mm-hmm. But you can, on the flip side, you can make the argument that what about the competition? Has MJ ever had the competition in the NBA Finals that LeBron James has? No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. The Utah Jazz? What? The mailman, Carl Malone?
Let's look at all the championships. Hold on. Let me break down all the championships.
Sean Kemp and Def Leppard Shrimp. The Houston Rockets are you kidding me?
Has MJ gone up against a Golden State Warriors team who, let me remind you, was that season deserves an asterisk because they became the best regular season team ever, beating out the Chicago Durant, 72-10 record. But they didn't even have Kevin Durant back then. They managed to win 73 and 9. Yeah, they built the Bees record. So my question is, my point is that MJ has never had to deal with such a competition that LeBron has with the Golden State Warriors, and not just the KD Golden State Warriors, but even the before that, I'll give you that about the Utah Jazz. They had Karl Malone, John Stockton, Jeff Hornacek. Those guys were elite, right?
And what about the Eastern Conference alone that he had to get out of? They got great shooters. Shooters like Reggie Miller who can pick and pop on the court. I'm talking specifically about the
NBA Finals. They went up, I believe their first championship was the first championship was against
the Lakers.
Old Lakers. Magic was on his way out. Kareem was on his way out. They were done. That dynasty was over, right?
Okay. Next was the Trailblazers.
They were has-beens at that point. Next was the Trailblazers.
With a young Clyde the Glide, Sabonis. Come on now. They had a squad. Why are you acting like they were garbage?
But I'm not saying they're garbage, but are any of those guys superstars?
Okay, now I see
any
you're
of those
to
guys
go.
Superstars.
Okay.
What about, all right, second, two.
What about
Charles
Phoenix?
Barkley in that? Phoenix. Okay, Charles.
Barkley was a superstar.
It. Yeah, but that's it.
No.
That's it.
Where?
Who else was on that team? Dan Marley. Okay. Kevin Johnson.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So what about Seattle?
That was the first repeat. Seattle was all right, but all again, right. Like.
No. In their time, I tell you who was a superstar. Sean Kemp and Gary Payton in that time were the superstars. Gary Payton was.
But no one thought that they were going to beat the Bulls, man. No one thought. Come on, man. They were a good team, but no one in their right mind was like, oh, Chicago Bulls better look out for Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Come on, man.
Okay, so what about – so then with Utah, what's your argument there?
Utah? No. I'm saying I agree with you. I'll give you Utah.
So then your argument is that you feel that with LeBron, the talent was just different, though was better, even though the talent was allowed to be better because of the rule changes that affected that. The reason why Steph and Clay,
LeBron can't do anything about that.
Let me tell you what I noticed. The reason why Steph and Clay are so good is because the offensive player has so much lean, and that includes LeBron. Because when LeBron runs into the post, he's actually doing offensive fouls, and people don't know, like who don't remember the game. Like it was back
he's
in the 90s.
Range.
That's
like
an offensive foul. You're not allowed to do that. What he does, right? You would get called all the time. Because the rules have changed, they allow for that. You take that away, right? Because granted, it's just how the game has been changed for all the offensive players. But I'm looking at the Jordan era and saying, here's a man who's...
And once again, folks, we do go over the time limit. But how could we not? We're talking about Michael Jordan and the ghost that he left behind for LeBron James to chase after. It's a strong legacy. And apparently, this debate will never end. But Gavin and I promise to wrap this thing up coming into the third episode of the AWOL radio show. And we'll also get to talk about five teams, well, the top five teams that we think have a chance to topple the LA Lakers coming into the next season, whenever that starts. A lot's going to happen during the offseason, and of course the draft is a big topic. So hopefully we'll get to dive into some of that as well. But until then, you guys stay cool, stay chill, and check us out next week. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Seasons and names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.